With all the GLP-1 companies out there, how does someone know which one's actually reliable?
I tell people to look at four things. Is it safe? Does it work? Is it affordable? And will you actually get clinical support? When you use that filter, one brand keeps standing out, Bleve. They use U.S. pharmacies. People see results close to the research, about 18% weight loss. It's around $4 a day, and they include nurse support at no extra cost. And full disclosure, I actually use them. I signed up during my lunch break and got approved before I even left work.
Okay, I just Googled it while you were talking, and yeah, it really does look simple. For anyone listening who wants to check it out, where should they go?
It's joinbleve.com, spelled B-L-I-V.
So if you've been curious about GLP-1s, joinbleve.com might be a good place to start.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers.
I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers, watch it work.
Listener, if you've read my recent post, then you know I've been somewhat under the weather. That put me in a position of having to release a Black Label episode somewhat last minute here on the 31st. The following Black Label is a from-the-ground-up remake of one of the original Black Label episodes. To put it frankly, listener, the original episode wasn't great. Of those first 9 Black Labels, I would say that this particular coverage has been brought up the least. With my limited time to get you guys out a Black Label this month, I decided to use that original episode as a base. But now, it is expanded with more research, more Ricardo Lopez audio, much tighter and better writing, better recording equipment, and the whole episode is tied together with a theme on stalking. That is something that stood out to me reading the original script. I simply covered the incident, but the episode seemed to lack any thesis. Now, I can confidently say that the episode I'm presenting to you today is 100 times better and actually has a point. I will note here that having recorded this a couple days ago, my voice was coming off having a sore throat for close to 2 weeks. If it sounds raspy at all, I apologize to you for that. I'm actually not used to being under the weather for so long, and I hope you forgive me. All right, I won't waste any more of your time. Let's get on with it.
That's a good motivator to make these tapes for one day for her to see. To see the real fucking me. And why would she want to? Because I am the man. That's a fucking good plan, motherfucker. That's a good plan. Okay, why? Another reason why to kill her?
Stalking is a disorder that no longer allows you to make rational decisions. It causes you to believe that delusions are in fact reality. The obsession often leads to reckless, illegal, and even dangerous acts. To be feared or hated by the object of your obsession means you have become important to them. You have a relationship with that person, a relationship that can sometimes only end when one or both of you are dead. The darker side of fame and celebrity seems to be the relentless fans that won't allow you to do the normal things your former non-famous self could do. You can't grocery shop or have dinner in public without someone seeking a picture or an autograph. Now that we have video cameras attached to our phones, any type of privacy for a celebrity seems to be a thing of the past. As technology has increased and social media has developed, most celebrities have had to accept a thinning of personal boundaries between themselves and the public. What happens when fandom turns into obsession? In the past, stalking was considered an anomaly, but it's considered the norm for celebrities. Are you even famous if you don't have a stalker? Well, there are many jokes and memes about stalking. It is, in fact, a very serious matter.
911 emergency.
Right, someone has broken into my house. I'm hiding in the closet.
They're in the house now?
Yes, they are. I just saw them walk into the attic. I have a...
Is it a man or a woman?
I think it was a man.
What's your name, ma'am?
Sandra Bullock.
All right, Sandra, I'm going to stay on the phone with you till the officers get there, okay?
Okay.
I want you to let me know if you hear or see anything at all.
I'm in my closet. I don't think I could see anything. I have a safe door in my bedroom, and I've locked it, and I'm locked in the closet right now.
Okay, don't hang up. I'm going to be dispatching the police, okay? Don't hang up on me. Do you have any weapons? Are you armed?
No, I'm not. I hear someone banging on the door.
Is it your bedroom?
Okay. Yes.
8029 suspects now attempting to gain entry to the bedroom.
Are they close?
We don't have a way to track where they are. I just know that they've been en route for about 4 minutes since the call came in. Okay, there's an officer pulling up now. Do not go out there.
Do what? I'm sorry?
I said do not go out there.
Okay, and just have them walk around. I'll stay right here.
I'm going to let you know what they're going to do, okay?
Is that them knocking at my door?
Are you knocking on the door?
I hear them. And tell them no, I saw the guy go upstairs into my attic.
They're entering, so they've got an open door,
them.
So they're coming in, okay?
I hear them, yeah. Thank you so much for being so nice. Thank you.
3-5-10-1, team suspect in custody.
Okay, they're taking him into custody now.
Oh, they have him?
They have him. You can hang up. Thank you, ma'am.
Okay, thank you so much.
Stalking is frequently coupled with mental illness, and often more than one diagnosis. Experts have established 5 categories for stalkers. The rejected, the resentful, the intimacy-seeking, the incompetent, and the predatory stalker. The first category, the rejected stalker, is someone who has been rejected in a relationship and feels wounded and seeks retribution or vindication. The second is the resentful stalker. This type feels self-righteous and superior to their victim. They are considered the least likely to act out in a violent manner. The third type is the intimacy-seeking stalker. This type is delusional and believes that they are loved or will be loved by the object of their affection. The fourth type is the incompetent suitor-stalker. This type is often socially awkward, unable to decipher social cues, and doesn't understand that their affection is in return. The fifth type is the predatory stalker. This type of stalker is motivated by sexual gratification, control, and even violence. Their objects of stalking often don't even know they are a potential victim. Experts believe the rejected and the predatory stalkers are the two most likely types to act out in a violent manner towards their targets. However, according to an article in the New England Psychologist, a forensic and police psychologist, Dr. Gerald Swede, writes that celebrity stalking has its own special category.
LAPD officers came to this neighborhood about 6:45 this morning to serve an arrest warrant for Josh Beckett. Take a look. This was the scene earlier this afternoon as the SWAT team was called in after he threatened to kill the officers who tried to serve the arrest warrant and take him into custody. Now, the suspect, according to the coroner who confirms to Eyewitness News, has been identified as 42-year-old Joshua Corbett. He's the man convicted of stalking actress Sandra Bullock back in 2014. He was sentenced to 5 years probation.
1993. 17-year-old teenager Ricardo Lopez saw an interview with Icelandic pop star Bjork on MTV's show House of Style.
Anyway, without getting sidetracked, Bjork has been an incredible part of my mind since 93, you know, since I first saw her.
Despite being 28 years old at the time, Bjork had a childlike appearance. Described as an innocent fairy, Icelandic pixie, and magic elf, she had a youthful mannerism and dressed with childlike whimsy.
They were one of these bands which was a hobby, like an accident.
But if the Sugar Cubes was a hobby, is this solo project of yours the beginning of a career, perhaps?
Oh, no. What I'm doing now is something I've been doing since I was 12. So this is probably where I feel more at home.
Her music had an ethereal and mystical quality to it. Ricardo was immediately captured by her projected innocence. She encapsulates his ideal for a girlfriend.
I'm a star with a crush, you know, and ended up with an obsession, which I'm not embarrassed to admit now it's an obsession. It sort of calmed down at times, you know. I've been okay with it. Other times it's flared up. The flaring usually comes about by, you know, reading an article that just, you know, is like, oh my god, I can't fuck. Well, this, if I'm not mistaken, January 2nd, I believe, I went to Borders, purchased a magazine, a couple of magazines, and I got enthusiastic about sending for more information about her and all that stuff, you know. Because I did for a while, then I stopped, and now again, you know, I sent. Let me show you. See all these? These are here. These are money order receipts. I sent for information. All sorts of information. Where she lives, you know, again, for two different things, autograph, posters, there's about as much information as I can get about, you know.
Ricardo Lopez was born on January 14th, 1975, in Montevideo, Uruguay. Not long after his birth, his family immigrated to the United States and settled in the state of Georgia. 2 years later, in 1977, his family became naturalized citizens. Ricardo and his two older brothers, George and Carlos, were practicing Jehovah's Witnesses who were raised in a middle-class family. Ricardo described his family as close-knit with traditional values and a solid sense of right and wrong. When his parents moved back to Uruguay, they left Ricardo in the care of his two older brothers. His brother George started a pest control company in Florida and hired Ricardo as an exterminator. Instead of being grateful for the job, Ricardo was resentful and unhappy with his life. Ricardo, who was an artist, was unable to pursue his passion professionally due to fears of being rejected by art schools. Despite having no formal training, Ricardo was able to create art, which he dedicated to his muse, Bjork. When Bjork failed to acknowledge his artistry, however, his intense feelings of love for her began to turn to hate. Her perceived rejection caused Ricardo to embark on a 9-month journey where he documented their relationship in a series of video diaries. He developed a plan to destroy Bjork's beauty, and in return, she would watch his diaries and then know his name. She would come to understand her part and her responsibility in her fate. In his love-obsessional stalker mind, Ricardo knew that way Bjork would never forget the name Ricardo Lopez.
Look at this beautiful face. This cute, innocent, sweet, and shy thing. Well, she's fucking a nigger. Can you believe that? Yes. Fucking nigger. That's unacceptable.
One aspect of the case that sometimes gets overlooked is the racism. Ricardo's love and admiration for Bjork turned from love to hate, disgusted by her when he found out she was dating a black man. For this crime, he decided she must die.
I've been planning it. It's the 14th today. I've been planning it past week and a half. It sounds crazy. One of the reasons I have you is to document my progression to the events. I'm gonna send a package, a lightweight, business-like folder, cardboard folder, that opens up.
Ricardo decided Bjork had to die for her transgressions, but he wanted her to die slowly, so she would have time to fixate on him. He imagined she would think of him every day while she awaited her deadly fate by his hand in design. He planned to send a business package disguised as promotional materials, enclosed with a book, to her London home, His plan was for it to look professional in order to capture her interest, since it involved using her music in the film version of the book. He hollowed out a book and designed a device inside of it that would inject Bjork with HIV-tainted blood as she opened it. This, Ricardo reasoned, would give her years to reflect upon her transgression against Ricardo. This idea pleased him. He couldn't mask his excitement. He named his device the Master Blaster.
The Master Blaster. That's a hypodermic needle. No poison. But upon depressing, there's going to be two of them. Buttons. Those two hypodermic needles are going to poke her thumbs, thus introducing into her bloodstream HIV contaminated blood. I'm going to have to get that from a hooker. I'm not going to fuck her and get it. No, I'm going to pay her some money and extract the blood. Details later. Just giving you the basics. And right now, without the details and without this, sounds fucking crazy. But it is not. I mean, whether it's crazy or not, that's not what I'm saying. My number one ally. Okay. Because upon doing this, FBI, the New Scotland Yard, and who knows what else kind of agencies is going to be, I'm going to be public enemy number one, or, well, not number one, but because, you know, I'm the new bomb, but I'm certainly going to be a media frenzy. I don't want the media. Because that's only going to stimulate, you know, or, you know, put more pressure on those agencies to bust a person. I'm going to get busted, for sure. Because I have one mind. And I'm not that clever as I would like to think I am. I'm young. I don't have that much experience. And
so you're going to have a team of professionals,
all their resources trying to track me down. I'm going to have a number of safety features, self-destructing, you know, I'm going to get caught. I mean, not get caught, but because, plain and simple, this is the whole thing. I'm not going to go to prison. Upon my knowledge of hers, you know, positively getting the HIV virus, I'm going to have to kill myself.
Hypothetically, once Bjork was injected with HIV-tainted blood, which he planned to obtain from a sex worker, he imagined he'd become public enemy number one and wanted everyone, especially Bjork, to know his name. Between Scotland Yard and the FBI, he knew they'd quickly discover his identity.
And she will pay. She killed me with that. She fucking killed on that. I mean, she was a piece of shit. I knew that, fucking drunk, you know, fucking sucking dick here and doing that. But with that, it was just, that's it. It's all over. Especially now that I went into heavy duty getting all the information and working on my sculpture. Now I got that video processor that I was going to have, you know, still images. That way I can, you know, do a lot of my sculpture. Everything, you know. She's going to fucking die, that's for sure. Or at least fucking get scared up the fucking ass, man. Yep, yep. And that's my goal. Kill her, scare her, traumatize her. And more than anything, know of my fucking existence. I'm gonna give her a cocktail of lies and all that on the tape to deceive not her, but the FBI. Upon my death, I'll have it, if she wishes, I'll have the real information sent to her. But she has to ask for it. Not fuck her. Who I really am, perhaps these tapes edited in a way.
In addition to punishing Bjork for having sex with black men, the most important part of Ricardo's plan was that she remembered his name.
You know, that's a good motivator to make these tapes for one day for her to see the real fucking.
As Bjork's angel of death, Ricardo fantasized about her watching his tapes and becoming fixated by his every word. This would be the only way she'd be able to get to know him. He anticipated becoming the most important man in her life because he would be the man who'd eventually be responsible for taking her life. It is this goal that fueled him for the next 9 fateful months.
What a fucking sissy. Because I do have an emotional problem. It's a chemical imbalance in my brain. I'm not a psychotic or anything like that. It's just, you know, I'm like a female type of thing. I mean, this is like an insult to females. But my emotional level, chemicals, you know, I know exactly which chemicals are. I saw a documentary on the brain. You know, they flare up. And my mother, a lot of times, you know, She gets sad and she'll like cry. She's not the one, the kind to, you know, be crying and crying, but she cries very easily. And I don't know, genetically, I guess I got that from her. But it, I mean, I cry worse than a little kid sometimes. I'm a 300-pound man almost, and acting like a little, you know, 30-pound baby man. You know, it's unbelievable. It's like I shock myself sometimes. But I'll talk about that later. One of the major reasons why I believe, I don't know if you can see in this light, okay, I learned this in ninth grade in my accelerated biology class. If you notice, okay, I don't know if you can see my breast, okay. My breasts are not normal, okay. As we studied in biology class, males are X, males are XY chromosomes, and females, XY, you know, chromosomes are males, XX is female. The Y is what, you know, makes a male. Okay, one out of every 456 males has a chromosome defect called XXY, okay, and that's what I have, you know, and it's more common than people think, okay. One of the major things is having breasts and big nipples like this, and they show pictures in the books. It's not some, you know, strange delusion of mine, you know. I saw pictures and I read all about it, you know, and that's what it is. XXY, and that has a lot to do with hormones and stuff like that. And as we all know, females are different than males in their hormones, you know, it's only genetic. And I have like a, being that I'm an XXY, I have an imbalance there, and it just, you know, just it's wicked.
Ricardo filmed his video diaries mostly naked. He said he believed a lot of his emotional problems stemmed from a genetic condition that he suffered from called gynecomastia, a condition that results in males having an XXY chromosomal configuration instead of the standard XY configuration. This chromosomal deviation often results in increased weight, small stature, and undersized testicles and penis. It's this condition, Ricardo said, that caused him to have oversized nipples and breasts. Ricardo also suffered from a condition known as micropenis, which, all combined, caused him profound feelings of self-loathing and inadequacy about his body. He believed he'd never be able to satisfy a woman, so he wasn't interested in trying. His fear of rejection was too great. In addition to feelings of phallic inferiority to the man Bjork was dating, his already intense feelings of love for her quickly turned to anger and rage when he sent her a piece of his art, but got no response.
I mean, this is like a satanic thing that she just happens to be with a fucking nigger. Like, it's a setup for me to do something. I mean, I know she's been with other guys before. You think I like that? No. But what the hell am I gonna do? It's many times I try to think, oh, sex is not that big of a deal. Sex is a big deal to me. I'm a virgin. I've never had sex. I've seen sex. I've got tons of footage of sex. All different kinds and this and that. But I'm a virgin. I've never been with a woman. It's a big deal to me, and coming from a religious background, you know, an even bigger deal. I mean, she so casually refers to sex as, you know, of course, for her, a dick is a dick, you know. But, I'm a piece of shit, but many people, many blacks and whites, including myself, the reason why whites are so afraid of, you know, blacks taking their women is because, you know, like the saying goes, you know, once you try black, you ain't going back. And me,
having seen many pornographic movies, you know, most black men have big dicks. That's true. That's very true. Do I find that threatening? I mean, my dick is about that big. I mean, you know, in a way, yeah, but it's not like they're competing for the same thing. I'm competing because I'm not competing for nothing.
The depth of Ricardo's feelings for Bjork was so strong, and his love so pure, that he couldn't even bring himself to sexually fantasize about her. His feelings of inadequacy ran so deep that the thought of using her as fodder for sexual gratification was a repugnant notion for him.
February brings a lot of pressure around relationships. Everywhere you look, flowers, candy, couples holding hands. And if your love life doesn't look like a greeting card, it's easy to feel like you're falling behind. And here's the truth. Most of us are still figuring it out, listener. Whether you're in a relationship, dating, or flying solo, you're right on time. There's no perfect timeline for matters of the heart. Therapy can help you see more clearly what you actually want, what's weighing you down, and how to take some of the pressure off yourself. BetterHelp connects you with fully licensed therapists in their matching system. Built on over 12 years of experience, it helps pair you with someone who fits your needs. If it's not the right fit, you could switch anytime. With over 30,000 therapists and a 4.9 out of 5 rating from more than 1.7 million client reviews, they've helped over 6 million people find their way. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That is BetterHelp.com. Let me tell you about Chime. They're changing the way people bank. And honestly, my younger self would have benefited from this. Chime isn't just another banking app, listener. They've built smarter, fee-free banking for everyday people, not the 1%. Forget overdraft fees. Forget monthly fees. Forget minimum balance fees. With Chime, that's all gone. Here's what makes them different. With MyPay, you can access up to $500 of your paycheck anytime and get paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit. They've also got this new Chime card, which lets you build credit history with your own money while earning cash back on everyday spending. No annual fees, no interest, no strings attached. Plus, you can earn up to 3% APY on savings. That's 8 times higher than traditional banks. If you ever need help, they've got 5-star rated customer service with real humans available 24/7. Chime is not just smarter banking. It's the most rewarding way to bank. Join the millions who are already banking fee-free today. And it just takes a few minutes to sign up. Head to chime.com/obscura. That is chime.com/obscura.
Chime is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services, a secured Chime Visa credit card, and MyPay line of credit provided by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. MyPay eligibility requirements apply, and credit limit ranges $20 to $500. Optional services and products may have fees or charges. See chime.com/fees info. Advertised annual percentage yield with Chime Plus status only. Otherwise, 1.00% APY applies. No min balance required. Chime card on-time payment history may have a positive impact on your credit score. Results may vary. See chime.com for details and applicable terms.
Okay, I don't see her as human. Okay, I don't get this picture. Oh, fuck yeah. I don't do that. I don't see her like that. I see her beyond you. I put her on a pedestal so high that you see, and I was thinking about this the other day. I've put her in an angelic status. My heart, I've never dreamed of fucking her. Okay, the only thing I've ever fantasized about, if anything, was just bringing her pleasure to satisfy her need. You know, eating her out or something like that, you know. Just giving her an entire pleasure just because, you know, fulfilling her earthly needs. Okay, not fucking her, because I know that I'm not sufficient for that, okay. I have prostate problems and I got a little dick and I'm fat and I have no stamina. I may have watched a few hundred porns, but to put it into action, I mean, yeah, you learn a lot. You do learn a lot, especially eating pussy and this and that, and techniques, watching, you know, Bob Berkowitz's show, Real Personal. This and that, yeah, you pick up a lot of things, okay? A lot of bits of information that are entirely useful, but to put it into practice is completely different, okay? But anyway, you know, if anything, it was just that, you know, just bringing her pleasure, just, you know, controlling her needs, so that way she doesn't have to go out and get that, And I've never really fantasized too much about being in a relationship with her, because I can't be in a relationship with anybody because of my emotional condition. So it's very hard to pretend I don't have that, you know.
Ricardo insisted his intentions towards Bjork were more paternal and in no way sexual in nature. He wanted to care for her, handhold her. According to him, he would never defile her childlike innocence by thinking of her in an impure way. He spent countless hours imagining himself holding her the way a father would hold a daughter.
But my fantasy is this. Me going back to 1977. With all the materials that I have. For what? To be the single most important influence on her life. What does that mean? For her to develop an attachment for me? Plain and simple. I go back, I become the single most important person in Iceland for that fact at the time. Imagine a traveler from the future that comes with the news from the future. And, you know, and I came exclusively to see her. You know, this is how I get there, right? Okay. And this is not entirely out of whack either. I mean, okay, going to the future is very, very simple. Going to the past is quite difficult. Future, you can go to the future in a coma.
Ricardo had complex theories on time travel. In fact, he had an involved and extended fantasy of traveling to the past when Bjork is still only 11 years old in order for her to create a dependent attachment to him. He believed that science proved that men are attracted to childlike women because it brings about intense feelings to care for them and to protect them. He believed all women needed caregivers. His fantasy was so elaborate that it extended to all of Iceland becoming infatuated with him. He was convinced Bjork would find his theories just as fascinating once she found out he'd be the one responsible for her death. He also wished he could go back in time and prevent her from liking black men. While he was concerned about the past, he was still preoccupied with the future. In 1994, he'd sent Bjork a bomb that was intercepted by her security team and never reached her. He was worried that her current security team would make the connection between the 1994 bomb and his current device, the Master Blaster. He needed to make sure the new device couldn't be traced to his past efforts.
I'm very bitter. That's the thing about revenge. What do you get? What do people get out of revenge? Okay. This, in a way, it's a big time of like a revenge type of thing. Okay, I'm very bitter. I'm very sad. I'm very angry. I'm very disillusioned. More than anything else, disillusioned. Even though I really didn't have that great of illusions of her. Even from the get-go, I mean, from the beginning, I liked her a lot, and I thought she was, you know, sweet and innocent. Then, you know, little by little, I learned. So it's not like a great delusion, but it's just the last straw. That's it. That's the last thing that you know, destruction of my last bit of hope that maybe, you know, she could change and this and that, and, you know, and even if she changed, what good would that do me? It wouldn't do me any good, actually, technically, except that it would make me feel better. You know, and that is, in its way, it's good, yeah. But, why am I doing this? Okay. Because when you take an act of revenge on someone, on something, okay, and especially the long planification of that revenge, getting even, there is a sort of sadistic pleasure. Every time I think about, I'm going to get her back, okay, that's really not love, by definition. Because to love is to forgive. Okay. But to forgive, the other person has to earn that forgiveness. And really, she hasn't. But she doesn't have to earn anything from me, because I'm nobody to her. If I were an ex-boyfriend of hers or something like that, then, you know, you know, she left me for a nigger or something. You know, I feel the way I do about niggers and stuff, then it'd be a different story. But she's nothing to me, and I'm nothing to her. I mean, well, she is a lot to me, but I'm nothing to her. You know, so why this revenge? It's obvious. Like I said, people do things, okay, primarily to feel good or to avoid feeling bad. Okay.
And this is obviously, it's not really avoid me feeling bad because, well, in a way it is because having this revenge thing, knowing that I'm gonna get even with her, even though it's gonna mean, you know, I'm willing to pay the price of death for it, you know. In a selfish, you know, thing, because I'm not, you know, I'm not considering the effect of my family, you know. Since I'm a very selfish person, I'm really, except my mother, you know, I'm really not that concerned about their feelings and their, you know, how their lives are gonna be affected by my death and stuff like that. I really don't care, besides, because they can handle it, besides my mother. Yeah, I know my mother can handle it, but I've talked enough about that already. I'm willing to pay the price of death for it. I'm willing to give my life up short, you know. Not that my life has no value and I'll give it away for anything. It's not like I'm suicidal over anything and this just happens to, you know, go on. I'm not suicidal, okay? I had plans. You know, future plans and this and that. I mean, I knew I was going to die in Armageddon, but I still had plans, especially with my art and this and that. Get a few things accomplished before I died and stuff, you know.
Ricardo feared going to prison because he didn't want to be raped or become, quote, a prison bitch. So he knew he'd have to kill himself before this could happen. However, he insisted he wasn't suicidal, just willing to make the ultimate sacrifice to ensure that Bjork was sufficiently punished for dating black men. This was a slight he couldn't allow to pass, even if dying was the cost to see it through. He didn't believe he was depressed because he used to be depressed and he knew what that felt like. This felt different. This felt euphoric. Bringing about Bjork's death was bringing him joy. As the days, weeks, and months passed, however, he began to feel ambivalent towards his plan. But one thought remained constant: Ricardo's fixation on black men and how that caused his feelings of intense inadequacy.
You know, since I have a real small dick, I mean, even if I had a large dick, it wouldn't do me much good, you know, because the situation is. But ever since, you know, this is how I feel now, but I never, this is not how I always felt, especially when I was growing up, you know. I saw, you know, I had hopes and stuff like that with women and stuff, and even though I was fat and this and that, but, you know, I still had hopes, and that's when it really became apparent, you know, my inferiority complex. You know, 'cause I see a beautiful white chick, my type, you know, the dark hair, green eyed, you know, in my country there's a lot of girls like that, and that's my type. I like that, you know, beautiful, beautiful women, beautiful face. I said, wow, man, she's so beautiful, and they see, well, you know, fucking nigger, and I'm already, you know, thinking, I was like, fuck, he's gonna. Now, in my mind, subconsciously, I was thinking, yeah, she's got a fucking big dick, you know, he's gonna start fucking her, and if one day I meet up a chick like that, and she's been with a nigger, and I got a little dick, and it's gonna already give me more problems, and the psychological fact, you know, is like, you know, not so much the technical part, you know, that big, she's gonna get used to that big cock, and then, whether it be a black guy or a white guy or whatever, I always appreciated virgins, you know. Because, you know, I am myself a virgin, and in my time, you know, when I was young, you know, I would think, you know, I would love to marry a virgin, because to be with a woman, if she wasn't a virgin or whatever, okay, but not a lot of experience, but you got a chick with a lot of experience, and you don't have no experience, and even if you did have experience, you know, the actual fact that, you know, you're in her, you're caressing, you're kissing her, and you gotta think, man, she's been with how many guys has she been with? How many? And that fact alone would just, you know, kill me inside, you know. I like a chick that, you know, I wanted a chick when I was in that age, you know, with no experience and this and that. I was her first and she was my first, and, you know, we could, you know, be together and, you know, go against this world, you know, type of thing. But anyway.
After his concerned brother, George, contacted their mother about Ricardo's strange behavior, she began to worry as well. She called her son to ask if she wanted to move back to Uruguay so he could be closer to her. When he declined her offer, she told him never to buy a gun because she was worried he might kill himself. He didn't want to hurt his mother, so this made him rethink his plan. He agreed to visit her for a few weeks. Maybe punishing Bjork wasn't worth it anymore.
About Bjork, I started thinking that week especially. So, you know what? She's not worth the trouble. that I put like in balance, who should I dedicate my attention to? My mother or a complete stranger? You know, of course, your mother. And so I put it more into perspective. Now, as far as my plans that I had with her, notice how I used the word had. It has been temporarily postponed. Why? Well, partially because of the worrying about my mother. Right now, my first attention is with my mother. As a matter of fact, in a couple of weeks, I'm going to be going to Uruguay to visit her.
After planning a visit with his parents, Ricardo seemed to have given up on the idea of killing Bjork. He'd recently watched a gangbang video that included black men, noticed that it didn't really bother him. Now he seemed okay with women having sex with men of different colors. It's important to note that there was a 3-month lapse between videos, with the video before his trip to Uruguay taking place on March 3rd, 1996. Perhaps there was a sincere desire on Ricardo's part to re-engage with his life and family. However, it is sometimes common for people contemplating suicide to visit family. It is a way to test their level of seriousness, and it also gives them the opportunity to make peace with their decision and to say their goodbyes. Often when people have made their final decision to die, they will exhibit moments of happiness since the decision has been cemented. It can be a sense of relief to no longer struggle with ambivalence. In the video after the 3-month lapse, Ricardo does appear to be quite animated and happy about seeing his family. But he also finds himself reconsidering his feelings of forgiveness towards Bjork.
Right now I'm like living my fantasy in a way. I'm not scared. I'm very involved in what I'm doing, as you can see. I don't think you can see too good. I'm gonna do it. Somewhat different, the AIDS thing. I'm afraid I'm not gonna be able to do that. Why? Because I don't have AIDS that I know of. To obtain it is gonna be very, very, very difficult. Very complicated to ensure a successful contamination. So what am I left with? Right now I have two options. I'm 85% on using hydrochloric acid. Looking in the yellow pages right there, there's a lot of listings. I went to the consignment shop today with Ralph, and I went into encyclopedias and I ripped out sections where it talked about hydrochloric acid. Hydro means water, because it's a gas that's mixed with water, because it becomes a pale yellowish color, and it eats metal, eats a lot of shit. Some, I have to find out which plastics. What is this all leading up to? Well, I don't have a job. That, as I don't know if I don't think I've mentioned before, I bought. Let me show you the books that I've gotten like a couple of months ago. John Douglas, director, well, not the director, but the FBI's former leading profiler. Book called Mind Hunter, all about psychos and shit. Book about, again, about the FBI, hard evidence. That's self-explanatory. I got another book right here, Crime Lab. Again, self-explanatory. Star Stalkers. Kaczynski, Mad Genius. Okay, I read two of those books. The Crime Lab one, the hard evidence, just came to the why. Okay, this is something that's come up. Something major is gonna happen. Major, 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 the next 2 months. I don't know if I'm gonna be alive in September or November. I don't know that. I don't know that. I've been thinking about suicide. But of course, you know my philosophy. I'm not gonna die an innocent man.
July 14th, 1996. Everything changed so quickly for Ricardo when he read an article in Spin magazine that Bjork was planning to marry a man named Goldie, a black musician. He'd also changed the plan from infecting her with HIV-tainted blood to sending her a device that would disfigure her by spraying her with acid instead. He thought that, by disfiguring her, She would have to spend the rest of her days thinking about him and learning all she could about him. He'd quit his job with his brother and spent all of his time accomplishing this goal before his savings run out. He was also concerned his family might be onto his plan and try to derail him from completing his life's purpose.
I just can't think about it, you know. I can't see myself getting a job. Yeah, I guess it's possible, but, you know, money's going to be horrible. I'm going to be depressed. Besides, this is like John Douglas here and Robert Ressler, the other FBI profiler. So. All serial killers and such, they fantasize about doing their things, and it usually takes something called stressor. Loss of a loved one, loss of a job, you know, shit like that. I've got to think about, I don't know when they're going to disconnect my phone, but I have to call my mother beforehand. I don't know how I'm going to, I have to tell the truth, because if she catches me in the light, she's going to be very worried. She's going to want to come over here, like she, they told me before, pick everything up. Take all this shit down there. I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm definitely going to videotape it. Leave a legacy. I thought I was doing some special effects with it, you know, like have your clapping. Thank you. Be like that. Oh, I don't know. The fantasy's become more and more true.
While listening to Celine Dion, Ricardo began to worry that the FBI would quickly close in on him as their suspect. He believed his acid bomb would bring out all the most important law enforcement. He'd been studying their techniques and purchased several books, including Mindhunter by famed FBI profiler John Douglas, as well as books on serial killers written by Robert Ressler, another well-known FBI profiler. He'd read that often people experience a stressor in their lives before committing crimes. He believed his stressor was quitting his job. Because he no longer worked for his brother, he was concerned his family would attempt to try to take him back home with them to Uruguay, where they could monitor him closely. His family was close and supportive. He knew his biggest challenge would be pulling off his plans without their knowledge. While Ricardo had deep feelings of shame and emasculation over his physical condition, he also suffered from grandiose thinking and feelings of self-importance. He relished his ability to manipulate and confuse his family, mental health professionals, and even law enforcement officials in their attempts to foil his plans. Ricardo's family expressed their deep concern for his well-being. Reportedly, Ricardo made threats to murder his brother and former employer George, as well as George's wife and children, prompting both brothers, George and Carlos, to visit Ricardo in his small Hollywood, Florida apartment. He quickly hid the gun he'd purchased and the various tools he'd used to make the acid bomb. When his brother threatened to call the FBI on him, Ricardo appeared to calm down, agreeing to go to an appointment they had made for him with a psychiatrist.
Listener, we're all trying to get healthier, buying supplements, following the latest workout trends. But what if the newest tip from your favorite health influencer isn't exactly what your body needs? True Diagnostic helps you find out the exact supplements and lifestyle changes that can make a difference, and which ones might just be wasting your money. I just took the test myself. The kit arrived at my door. I did a quick, simple finger prick at home, then dropped it in the prepaid return package. That's it. Now I'm waiting on my results. Should have them in a few weeks. I'm genuinely curious to see what my biological age looks like versus my actual age, and what specific changes I should make. True Diagnostic uses advanced epigenetic testing to analyze over a million biomarkers. Their True Age test measures how fast you're actually aging across 11 organ systems. True Health tests over 100 biomarkers like vitamins, inflammation, and metabolism, or get the combo for both. Either way, you get a clear 90-day plan. Your only job? Follow the three most important actions you can take for 90 days. Then retest to see your progress. This is trusted by top longevity clinics and health professionals, not just consumers at home. Right now, my listeners can get 20% off at truediagnostic.com using code Obscura20 at checkout. That's truediagnostics.com and use code Obscura20 for 20% off today. Choose True Age, True Health, or the Combo Kit as a one-time purchase or subscription. Listener, after spending hours researching the darkest corners of true crime, sometimes you need something to help you decompress. That's where Mood comes in. Mood.com is an online cannabis company
that ships federally legal THC products right to your door. We're talking gummies, flower, pre-rolls, edibles. They've got products designed for specific vibes. Need to wind down after a heavy episode? They've got sleepy time gummies. Want something for focus during those long research sessions? They've got that too. They even have options for feeling euphoric or, let's say, enhancing other activities. Personally, I'm a fan of their Sleepy Time Advanced Gummies. They kick in fast and actually help quiet my brain after a long day of diving into cases. Everything ships discreetly. It's all backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee. And best of all, Obscura listeners get 20% off their first order. Head to mood.com and use code Obscura at checkout for 20% off. That's mood.com with code Obscura. He kept the appointment, but admitted later in his video diary that he lied on the forms and wasn't honest with the psychiatrist.
I went to the psychiatrist Thursday. I told him my problem. As far as crying and shit, you know, I told him that I thought that I had a neurosis. He's okay. I think you have this and that. And then I took a DMSV... three or something. That's a written test, 564 questions to probe into your mind and stuff. Of course, I wasn't 100% honest. Can't be, but I mean, I just stated basically what I said. Very interesting the way it's, the questions are asked, but I basically just stated that I don't like people. I isolate myself. My communication skills are limited. This and that. I get a little depressed. And I suffer from sleeping disorders, which are all true. All true. But I stayed away from the hopelessness, the severe feelings of guilt and suicidal thoughts. Stayed away from that. Stayed away from the psycho material as far as hallucinations and all that. That's not true. You know, of course, I couldn't say anything about killing people or nothing. You know, this and that, you know. So I did a little bit. Not too much. A little bit. What I am taking is a serotonin inhibitor that, remarkably today, I did test myself and smooth as an eagle.
Ricardo was prescribed with Paxil and Klonopin, but he forgot to take them with any regularity. He believed the medicine was working and making him feel smooth. However, just a few days later, he was convinced it was making him more aggressive, because now he continually felt angry. His video diary reflects these changes as well. In his September 6, 1996 tape, he appears to have a lot of renewed anger towards women.
I'm gonna fuck her up, bro. I'm gonna fuck her up. Listen to me, Bjork. You're gonna get fucked up. You are gonna get fucked up. And I hope your son gets fucked up. And I really don't give a fuck about Goldie, because you can't blame a dog for being a dog. You know, you can blame somebody for loving a dog, but you can't blame a dog for being a dog. I don't give a fuck about you. If he gets splashed too, hey, great. If he doesn't, I don't give a fuck. Her son? Technically, I would rather her son get all fucked up with the acid than her. Because if her son were to get all fucked up with the acid, she would feel even more guilt and it would be fucking even sweeter. Hey, casualties of war, I don't give a fuck. I don't believe a child deserves to live any more than an adult. To me, it's the same shit. So fuck them all. Fuck them all. Okay? And even if it doesn't go off, or if it fails to go off, whatever, or if in the post stuff, as I end up shooting myself and killing a few other people, or whatever, she's going to hear about it. She's going to hear about it, and she's going to get worried. I mean, if it goes to her house and it gets sent back to Electra, hey, she's going to fucking hear about it. Is she not? Is she going to hear about it? Yup. She certainly is. I mean... It's a win-win situation. As long as I got my gun, hey, fuck the world. You got a problem with me? Boom. Well, maybe I can fucking just kill somebody. Fucking just kill somebody. Can you imagine that? Before I dig my own life? Wow, man. I'd be like, boom. to the gun. See, and the beauty of a revolver is that it won't jam on you in comparison as many times as an automatic, semi-automatic. So, because I read it in the booklet. Oh, if your semi-automatic gets jammed or whatever. I mean, plus my dad, he asked somebody, he has a fucking military man, which is better, a semi-automatic or a revolver? And the military man who's all his life in Uruguay, all his life has been around guns, he says, a revolver, because a revolver won't jam on you. Hey, and I've heard countless fucking stories, all right? That's why this Fletcher guy got killed by Arthur Jackson. Because his gun jammed, and the guy thought it was a star pistol, and then he came at him, and then it unjammed or whatever, and boom. Even though I don't know if that was a revolver. But nonetheless, no, I think that was a semi-automatic. Nonetheless, the chances are better. Oh, not only will I have that, if anything it fails, I'll have my X-Acto knife. You know, I'll slice my throat, if anything. Slice my wrist and slice my throat. Really, see the power of having a gun. All right, I think that'll give me the confidence. Hey, anything, if all hell breaks loose, you know, I'll say fuck it. You know, boom, 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 boom. You know, maybe I should have it all completely loaded. Maybe I should.
Ricardo was just days away from his goal. While the method and possibly the target had changed over the last 9 months, the purpose had not. Whether he wound up disfiguring Bjork or her son, the end result would be the same. Bjork would forever know his name. He wanted Bjork to watch the 20 videos he had recorded to let her know who he was and why he was important to her life. He wanted to be seen, and he wanted to be heard. He tested the device twice to determine its accuracy. It was now showtime. He packaged up his acid bomb and prepared to have it sent via FedEx. He took his gun with him in case the FBI was onto him and ready to confront him. The package would take 5 days to get from Florida to Bjork's home in London. He was hoping to hear something on the news, but was worried the FBI would get to him before he had a chance to kill himself. So, he reasoned, he had to go through with the suicide before he could allow that to happen. He filmed himself with his last meal, which appeared to be Domino's pizza. He danced around in celebration of his success, but then he turned serious.
I'm planning on killing myself within a week. I'll give it 3 days to get there. Whatever happens, happens. Boom. I'm gonna paint my face with a green and red, like. You know, that way, you know, when George and shit finds me, you know. It won't be that much of a shock. It'll be a depersonalized type of thing. I look weird as fuck, and it'll help with the coping mechanism. It'll make it seem unreal, unrealistic. So that'll help with the you know, traumatization part. I mean, I'm real sorry. I'm really sorry for what I'm going to do to them. I mean, not that much, because I'm still going to do it. But I am real sorry for what their pain. Sometimes, you know, I think, wow, then this would be so much easier if I was, you know, living by myself in some state where nobody knows me. I don't have any family. Then, oh, you know, no problem. I would have turned into a psycho serial killer or some shit, you know. One thing is very, very important to stress. This is extremely important. I am not doing this. I'm not killing myself. Okay, this is the thing. I'm on a mission. My mission is not to fuck up Bjork, okay? My main objective is to end my life. Now, as I'm going down, I'm gonna screw her up. Whether I screw her up or not, my family's gonna suffer. So, you know, I don't think it's fair for my family to be suffering and for her not to. So, that way it's an equal share of the thing. So, remember, I'm not doing this, I'm not killing myself to avoid capture, to, you know, this and that, because I can't take it, you know, I'm guilty, fuck no. I'm dying because, you know, the fear of living exceeds that of dying. So, that's what's going on. I gotta stress that in my suicide. I don't know if I should have a suicide note, because it's ridiculous with all this fucking videotape. And I'm still thinking how I'm gonna do the videotape shit, because I'd like the FBI to have it. way she would get it. You know. It's kind of maniacal to be thinking, wow, why would she take an interest in me after me doing this to her? But the obvious question that comes to mind, I don't know if you can see me there. The obvious question that will come into anybody's mind is, who would do this? Why the fuck did he do this? I'll leave it very much as a mystery. Because it'd be very brief. One of my last wishes was to fuck you up.
His appearance changes as he seems to distance himself from what he has to do. He cuts his hair with scissors, and later, it appears he has shaved his head bald. He paints his face with green and red paint. He is no longer recognizable, even to himself.
Really, it was the straw that broke the camel's back. Even had my initial mission been completed, your death, as you soon will learn, was not in my intention. But you will give me as your pain in exchange for my family's despair of my suicidal venture. My death is really less related to my obsession with you. It's my unwillingness to partake in this world for various reasons. My mission, though, is related to you because it is my last joy. Honestly, your only mistake was ever having caught my eye. I really should not blame you for not being what I wanted you to be. But human history is filled with accounts of what one should not do. And despite my despise of them, I too shall join them. Life is deliciously unfair to all of you. You being a mother, there's nothing more I could take from you than your son's innocence. I will jump at the chance of disemboweling Sindri, but of course not before slowly hammering his knee caps to a bloody pulp. And in your presence, tear into his flesh to consume his flesh, to become one with his flesh, to enter new worlds with your pain becomes my sacred key. While I am a realist, I will just bury a bullet in his head. It's easier. I must remind you that I have incredible patience. I will not care if it takes another 3 years. I really would rather not have to start following you around again, but I will if I have to. I'm not crazy. I just pretend to be. Wouldn't they love to use this against me and trial your pain, my family pain, my death? That's cool.
In his September 12, 1996, and final video, he prepares his final artwork, a blank canvas with "The Best of Me" written in black bold letters. He leans it against the wall, right behind his head. It appears he intends for his blood and brain matter to end up on the canvas. It is his final art piece to Bjork, his most personal piece yet. He misses.
Okay, it's time. I've got my gun. I just want to say that my last words. Well, fuck the world. That's my last words. And fuck Bjork and her nigger-loving self. The chances of it being entirely successful, like I said before, I'm not going to count on it. But nonetheless, it being out there, I consider it a great venture. Nonetheless, I was going to die anyway, not because of her, but rather because of my own reasons.
The last song he will hear is a Bjork song entitled, "I Remember You." As he mouths the words to the song, he begins to shake. He takes a series of deep breaths, places the barrel of the gun inside his mouth, and ends his life. Ricardo's body lay decomposing inside his apartment for 4 days, until a maintenance worker noticed a foul and consistent odor coming from the apartment. Police were able to locate his body and followed his directions by watching his last tape, entitled The Last Day of Ricardo Lopez. It was then they discovered that he had made and sent an acid bomb to Bjork's home in London. Scotland Yard was able to locate the working device and safely detonated it before it was able to reach its intended target. However, his last goal was accomplished. Bjork knew his name.
With all the GLP-1 companies out there, how does someone know which one's actually reliable?
I tell people to look at four things. Is it safe? Does it work? Is it affordable? And will you actually get clinical support? When you use that filter, one brand keeps standing out, Bleve. They use U.S. pharmacies. People see results close to the research, about 18% weight loss. It's around $4 a day, and they include nurse support at no extra cost. And full disclosure, I actually use them. I signed up during my lunch break and got approved before I even left work.
Okay, I just Googled it while you were talking, and yeah, it really does look simple. For anyone listening who wants to check it out, where should they go?
It's joinbleve.com, spelled B-L-I-V.
So if you've been curious about GLP-1s, joinbleve.com might be a good place to start.